Chapter 30. The Web of Past and Future. One other heard Catty Bree's call, and though he didn't immediately recognize it for what it was, Gromph Bayenry understood that something huge was afoot. He moved to his crystal ball and sent his vision to Bleeding Vines to find the place all but abandoned. He managed to manipulate his angle and swing out to the south, then the west, then east, to locate Jindia and her forces at long last. And beyond them, not far and waiting, he recognized the Bayenries and their allies, and he was smart enough and knowledgeable enough about the petty gyrations of the matrons to understand and recognize, too, those who seemed not to be allied with House Bayenry. Indeed, a skirmish in one small pocket broke out between soldiers of House Fay Branch and those of House Barris and Del Armgo. "Lovely," the great mage muttered sarcastically. "Idiots." He was about to dismiss the image, to let them fight it out and be done with the lot of them, when a familiar voice carried alongside this magical force he was sensing. "The beast will soon escape, and no house will leave unscarred, if any house leaves at all," Gamoriel Oblodra told him. "To the abyss with all of them, then," Gromph thought. "Even whichever holds the blessing of Loth." The point was not lost on the former archmage. "Your inaction now is action," Gamoriel warned him. "Any who survive will know that Gromph allowed the catastrophe. Loth will know that Gromph allowed the catastrophe, the destruction of her minions." The moment of communication was fleeting, Gamoriel's telepathy fading to nothingness. Gromph sat back from his scrying device and took a deep breath, his hands going up to cover his mouth. He nodded, sorting it out, then ran from the room, from his extra-dimensional chamber, and down through the host tower of the arcane. In the side room to the tunnel at the base of the lowest stair, he dismissed his wards and magical locks and pushed through the door, and before he could convince himself otherwise, he threw the lever, once more letting the power of the host tower flow down into the tendrils, the veins. Across the leagues to the south it flowed, gathering speed and gathering ocean water, and in that magical journey, summoning elementals from the water plain. "I announce the arrival of Matron Xerath Doerden," Mirinel Bayenry told Quenthel, who was standing on the eastern edge of the meadow in the shadows of the trees as the sun rose behind her. Grim-faced Bayenry guards surrounded her as she conferred with Ivanel and Gamoriel Oblodra. Before them, across the way, other scouts came out of the forest cover, specifically avoiding the main trail as they had been ordered. "Jindia comes," Ivanel noted, nodding off to the east. "Matron Jindia," Quenthel corrected, drawing a chuckle from Ivanel. "Does it really matter now?" "It might. It might not," was all that Quenthel would answer. "Matron Mother?" Manolan Fay, who had come in with Mirinel, dared ask. Quenthel scowled at her. "Matron Xerath is not patient," Manolan Fay dared to press. "Then bring her," Quenthel told her, but she needn't have, for there was Xerath, floating in on her magical disk, Matron Birton Fay beside her. "Where are we?" Xerath demanded before any formal greeting. "We are already fighting, though it is just a testing by Matron Mesbaris," Birton Fay added. "If we fight here, am I to send my full force at House Barris and Del Armgo? I will need support, else she will destroy me utterly and quickly." "You will need more than I could give you," Xerath said with obvious disgust. "More likely than the Matron Mother could share. Do not doubt that Matron Mesbaris has other matrons behind her. Tell us, Matron Mother Bayenry, what is our course?" "You seem to have already decided yours," Quenthel replied. "You ask me to commit suicide, and that in the disfavor of Loth, I fear," Xerath bluntly replied. "Driders," came a call from the side. "Then let us see our course," Quenthel answered, "together." "And quickly," Birton begged. There, Ivanel said, pointing to the trees across the way. Huge shadows moved about through the underbrush, occasionally coming clear enough into the sun for the drow, whose eyes were not strong in the daylight, to make out the distinct form of a drider abomination. They will suspect that the open ground is a trap, Cirith said. They are driders, Ivanel replied. They won't care. Quenthel motioned to the side, and Beanri's soldiers rushed out onto the field, forming a line quickly and presenting a shield wall. Several huge spears flew down at them, and before most had even landed, the ground began to shake more violently under the thunder of the charge, with hundreds of abominations pouring through the trees across the way, exiting the paths, even the main ones strung with magical webbing. "What will happen?" Mirinel asked. "I don't know," came the honest answer from both Quenthel and Ivanel. A group of driders led by one huge female appeared on the path beyond the translucent web. Whether they saw it or not, they didn't slow, charging onto the field. Or trying to. For there came a great flash of dark light, deep purple, almost black, then another, and several more as each drider plunged through the trap. Dark smoke lifted, leaving the abominations writhing and screaming in pain on the field. The ones behind managed to stop and looked on in horror, like everyone else, as those few who went through suffered in obvious agony. Suffered and writhed, shrieked and tumbled, bones snapping, skin splitting, a sight inspiring the very worst memories of those who had been turned into such an abomination. The difference became stark, though, as the behemoth driders began to shrink, bloated bodies withering, eight legs becoming two. In short order, nine drow, not nine drider abominations, sat on the meadow, confused, each tapping herself or himself all about with trembling hands to see if it was true. They wore the jerkin and battle armor still, though now that their bodies had shrunk, it was knee length, not just to their waists. It could not be. But it was. Their magical web had undone that which Loth had done, because no priestess of the Spider Queen believed herself to have the power to transform a drow into a drider. Any priestess, and there were very few, ever given that privilege, understood herself to be a conduit to the work of Loth and nothing more. This before them, more powerful still, wasn't the will of Loth. How could it be? Ivanel glanced around. Time had seemed to stop. Everyone around the meadow, drow and drider, even the slave goblins and bugbears House Beanri would send into battle, stood staring, mouths hanging open in shock. This was the highest heresy possible. "Do you doubt me still?" Kimoriel Oblodra shouted at the Beanri priestesses. Before either Ivanel or Quenthel could reply, from a hillock in the forest across the way, Matron Jindia screamed her outrage. "For Lolf!" She was answered stunningly by one of the driders turned drow, a broad-shouldered woman who was the first of the nine to lift herself from the ground. "Damn, Lolf!"
"Malavazel Amphis Tall," Manolan Fay Beanri remarked, and Quenthel and Ivanel nodded. "The weapon master of what most consider the very first house of Menzoberranzan."
"Kill them all! It's a lie!"
Jindia screamed in a voice thick with magic.
"You are the lie," Matron Mother Quenthel yelled back, her voice too magnified by a magical spell.
"I have handmaidens at my side."
"Do you indeed?" Quenthel replied with confidence.
The moment of hesitation shattered. Drow and slave soldiers rushed to form defensive lines on the eastern end of the meadow, while Jindia's drow and slave soldiers formed into battle groups across the way in the shelter of the forest shadows. Wizards and clerics alike began their intended spells, and the driders rushed all about, confused and shouting, both to one another and to the nine drow remaining on the field. Directly across from Ivanel, a drider on the path rushed down and leaped through the magical webbing, eagerly almost, and again came that dark, fiery flash and the screaming and writhing. That obvious pain did not discourage the others, though, quite the opposite. One by one, or in small groups, the abominations swarmed to the web and plunged through. The few driders of House Beanri, House Towerden, House Fay Branch, and every other house in view of the spectacle didn't wait for permission but charged forward,
sprinting across the field and into the forest to the path before turning back and plunging through the web, the glorious web.
"Go and greet the Driders, the former Driders," Evenel told Manolin Fay, Mirinel, and Sarabel Doerden. "Guide them to us, that we might tell them that they are free."
"Free to join House Beanri if they wish, as family," Matron Mother Quenthel said, and more than a few gasped at that. Even after all they had just witnessed, such an offer seemed incomprehensible and utterly blasphemous. And yet, the three priestesses rushed out onto the meadow, heading for Malavazel Amvas Tall.
"Now what?" Matron Beerton Fay asked.
"What have you done?" Matron Xerath added.
"What does it mean?"
"I do not know," Quenthel admitted.
"Open revolt!" Jindia snapped at Ycardaria and Escavidni.
The handmaidens looked to each other, their drow faces masks of great concern. Then together they broke out in mocking laughter.
"How does this amuse you?" Jindia roared at them. "They just defied your goddess, they, the matron mother Beanri herself. Just slapped blessed Loth in the face."
"Did she?" Ycardaria gasped, clapping her hand across her heart for dramatic effect. Quite the practiced move for one who was not normally a bipedal humanoid. Escavidni laughed even louder.
"The others will side with me," Jindia declared, and loudly, for she knew that the Hunsrin contingent, including First Priestess Chari, were watching this unfolding wildness.
No, Jindia thought. Wildness was not the right word.
"Chaos," she whispered.
Her correction and her epiphany. "Sometimes it takes these inferior creatures a bit of time to understand, sister," Escavidni said to Ycardaria, and they laughed again, then touched their fingers together, drew a portal in the air, and stepped through it to their abyssal home.
"It's a shame about Zacnaphane, though," Ycardaria muttered as she entered the door.
Such a door was not like a physical door, of course, but Matron Jindia Malarn started when it closed as surely as if it had been a physical portal slamming shut. Another group of Driders, wearing the colors and insignias of several houses, rushed across the field, desperate for that magical web.
"Barris and Delarmgo," Evenel noted of more than a few. And no doubt Jindia's own house Driders joined the resurrected ones as Drow once more on the field.
"Matron Jindia," Xerath corrected.
Quenthel chuckled at that and looked to Evenel, who joined her. Once in Menzo Berenzon, long ago, the woman chosen by each family to sit on the conclave, before it was called the ruling council, only wore her title while at the table. They didn't need to tell the others that then, however. Indeed, they both understood that they could not. Sequential effect. "Do not attack Matron Jindia," Evenel advised her aunt.
"No,"
Quenthel agreed. "It is time to go home. It is time for all of us to go home."
"You don't think there will be a fight about this?" Xerath asked.
"Of course there will," said Evenel. "Menzo Berenzon will be a bloody battleground."
"A true civil war is quite possible," Quenthel added.
"What have you gained?" an outraged Sosumtu called from a short distance away. The four and many others turned to regard her.
"Do you think this will stand?" Sosumtu yelled at them. "Loth herself will come against you. I only pray that she will use my imperfect body as her avatar to destroy the mockery you have made of glorious House Beanri."
Evenel locked the priestess's gaze with her own and shrugged. Sosumtu ran off.
"Is she wrong?"
the skeptical and clearly terrified Xerath asked.
"What has happened but a pause? What have we gained?"
Evenel and Quenthel together turned to regard the field.
"Many hundreds."
Quenthel paused and smiled, for more and more Driders were eagerly rushing through that web, desperate to try, even in the face of such agony of transformation, even against any fears that it might be a trick designed to punish them even more. "Perhaps a few thousand soldiers to our cause."
Xerath took a deep breath, but neither it nor the assurance from the matron mother seemed to have any calming effect upon her.
Ivanel understood. Their world had just turned upside down and was about to be shaken by the ankles until everything they thought they knew fell to the ground below them. So Sumter would likely be a problem, a big one, and would no doubt run to the side of Mess Barris and whisper in her ear. Shindia Malarn, too, so zealous and vicious, wasn't finished. Perhaps it would have been expedient to turn the full force of House Bayenry on her in that moment of vulnerability, to erase her and hers from the world in one swift slaughter. But no, they had to give her the chance. To do less would be to become exactly that which they had just rejected.